Blog Talk Radio.
Well, once again, it's on Friday. It's that time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're talking to Jerry. It's the No Chaser. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. We have a special guest, but before we bring the special guest in, we got to talk to the man with the plan, the host of this show, of No Chaser, Mac Williams. Welcome, Mac.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, guys? Hey, I just wanted to welcome everybody today to the No Chaser Show. Glad to be back for another week, thank God. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We have a special guest. First and foremost, I want to say that this show is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions. If you go to trinitywebsolutions.org, there you can find anything you need for your online business or your online presence. So please stop over and check it out tonight. We have a special guest today, and this is Matthew Horn, a friend of mine. I've been a friend of mine for a few years here, and I've always seen him play, but kind of surprised me. Never knew that he was a motivational speaker and an author. And we saw each other probably about 2 or 3 weeks back and started talking, and I just said, hey, man, I got to have you on the show. So without further ado, Matthew Horn, we welcome you to our show. We want to say thanks and for showing up, and thanks, man. So introduce yourself, tell people what you do, and you know anything about you want to say.
Okay, well, first and foremost, Mac and Jerry, I want to thank you all for having me on the show. And my name is Matthew C. Horn, and I'm a motivational speaker and an author. And I guess tonight we're going to be discussing my books, and the one we're probably going to be discussing is Choices, the Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living.
Okay. Great to have you. And what I want to know, I want to kind of start out the gate, because I know we're going to have a lot of questions, a lot of things, because I'm starting to think of a lot of questions, a lot of things, and finding out where the direction is. First, I'd like to tell my audience, I have not read the book. I probably should have in leading up to today's show, but I have not. But it's probably good that I have it, because then I have more questions, and it caused me to ask more questions. Jerry, jump in wherever you want to jump in at.
Sure.
But my first question I would like to ask you, honestly, Matthew, is I'm a Christian. And for some reason, people think that when you become a Christian, you become perfect all of a sudden. You make no mistakes. You don't do anything wrong, and you're perfect. That's why it's funny when people say that, they do that. But one of the things that I've said, one of the things that the Bible talks about a lot, and I've been preaching this to my daughter and to some people that I come across, is that life is choice-driven. And so when I saw your book called Choices, I just thought this is great. Like, somebody's actually written a book outside of just the Bible that says, you know, what choices mean or what have you, something like. So tell me what caused you to write the book, and, you know, what it might talk about, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, well, what actually caused me to write Choices, the Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living, it was Thanksgiving 2011. And I was at my uncle's house. We were all gathered at my uncle and aunt's house. And I was throwing around some different book titles that I wanted to write about to my uncle. He says, no. He says, scratch all of those. You need to write a book for these young black males. And I usually write deeper books. I have a book called The Universe is Inviting You In. I have another book called All We Have Is Now that are, like, very, very deep books. But at the admonishment of my uncle, I said, you know what? I need to make a contribution to this conversation for the young black male. So I took his instructions. You know, I prayed about it and had peace that, you know, I can make a contribution to this conversation. And I went ahead and wrote Choices, the Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living. And the book is simply written to expand the mental picture of what's possible in the mind of any young black males, you know, because CNN has their statistics. They say an uneducated white male is the equivalent of an educated black male with a degree in terms of getting ahead in society. And when I heard those statistics, it was startling. And just looking around and seeing so many of my friends, my young black brothers who are dying senselessly, that's what really pushed me to show young black males that they have the power to create a life of success and to create it on their terms.
Say that. Can you say that line again about
I was you must have been reading my mind.
Yeah, because I was
just about to ask him the same thing. You got to tell
me
that again.
Say that again. Or, please say that again.
The last thing I said.
Yeah.
Oh, this was back in 2008 when President Barack Obama was running for office, and ironically enough, CNN had just started their series called Black in America.
Right.
And, you know, as a motivational speaker, I'm tuned in, I have my pen and my pad, and it said that an uneducated white male is the equivalent of an educated black male with a degree in terms of getting ahead in society. They have the same equal chance of getting ahead in society.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was startling. And just given that, and, you know, my experiences as an educated black male, and, you know, just knowing what black males face on a daily basis, that really and truly pushed me to give these young black brothers another picture of what's possible for their lives.
Wow. Well, Jerry, you got anything to ask? I know you.
Well,
so
are you saying that the only chance a black man, an educated black man, has to get ahead is to do it on his own?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, opportunities are available to us. I mean, let's look at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, history has been made twice. So the world is ready for the educated, eloquent young black male, and it's time for these young black males to realize that, you know, we don't have to follow in that mode of the Lil Wayne and the chains and all the crazy, you know, examples that they try to saturate our minds with. We have the power to educate ourselves and create a life of success that society doesn't necessarily say that we're capable of living.
Right.
Okay.
And I mean, what I like about that is that your book plays right into what I've always said, and the one thing that I work in the school system now, and I see, it's funny you say that because I walked through the when I first got the new job at the high school, I walked through.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I walked through, and they were giving me a tour of the school. It just blew my mind. Like, I haven't been in, you know, high school in years, but I went to high school, and I walked through, and I was just like, are you serious? And I'm sitting here looking at a full beauty salon in a high school, a barbering in the high school. You can leave with a barbering license, a hair license. You can leave out with mechanics, computers, software. You can leave out as a software engineer. You can leave out of high school, and you can leave out as a culinary. You got a culinary degree. And I'm sitting there going like, are you serious? And then when I see the kids, I'm sitting there like, you guys are so blind. You don't even see what you can be. Like, I don't know about Jerry, but when I was in high school, man, all you had was wood shop. You was lucky if you got a mechanic.
Right.
You was lucky if you got a car mechanic school. Like, you was doing something if you had, like, car mechanics taught in high school. I mean, that was it. It was wood shop. You could make a whole bunch of wood, make a little baseball bats and all kind of crazy stuff, but that wasn't nothing. And now to see these kids with all these choices that you can actually leave high school with a profession, it's crazy, and the kids don't see it. So So what you're saying is in line with what I've always been thinking, but that leads me to my next question, though, is tell me what the book really, I mean, it deals with choices, but how do you make it where it's the young black man's guide to successful? I mean, what is some of those chapters, and what are some of those chapters about? And then, Jerry, if you have anything else, just jump right in.
Right.
Okay. It's a short book. It's a very digestible book. It's not like intimidating. It's not intimidating with the language. It's very easy to read. And I'm going to read these quick 10 chapters to you, okay? Chapter 1 is The Power of Vision. Chapter 2 is Create Your Own Reality. Chapter 3 is The Power of Appearance. Chapter 4 is The Power of Education. Chapter 5 is The Power of Audacity. Chapter 6 is The Entrepreneur in You. Chapter 7 is Guard Your Surroundings. Chapter 8 is Respect. Chapter 9 is Choices. And Chapter 10 is A Higher Reality.
Wow. Wow. Jerry, you want to jump in on any of those chapters and ask what those are?
The chapter of appearance and the chapter of respect, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking about the thing that you cover in the chapter of appearance, I guess would lead to or help lead to the chapter of respect. The first impression is always the lasting impression. You can gain respect through your appearance or no respect through your appearance. Do you cover things like that in both those chapters or what?
I do, and especially with the chapter regarding appearance. I essentially tell the young black male in the book that, you know, go in the opposite direction of how we appear in the media. You know, I say there's nothing wrong with, you know, wearing clothes that fit and just, you know, have a nice tailored appearance to reflect that you're going somewhere in life, because, you know, the real conversation that takes place in society is the one that's not taking place. You know how you meet someone and then they're sizing you up. They're not worried about what's coming out of your mouth. They're subconsciously looking at your appearance and they're sizing you up. So
exactly.
I show the young black male, Les Brown says, dress like a prospect and not like a suspect.
Yep. I hear you.
And that's what it's about. You know, having an appearance that reflects that you're going somewhere in life, it opens up people's minds to the possibilities that you may offer.
Okay.
Hey, Mac, go ahead.
I'm telling you, we got a caller in here. I think I know who this is, but I'll let you get your point across before we bring the caller in.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that this, based on your chapters, and one of the things I did want to ask you is, did you at all, in writing this book, did you at all consult the Bible at all?
I do. I consult the Bible in spurts in all of my books. And just, you know, I look at it like this, okay? The Bible says that, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, all right?
Right.
So we're not having a face-to-face encounter with God every day. We're having a face-to-face encounter with man. So the Bible is telling us if we're going to get ahead on the earth, then we have to learn how to deal with man's sensory element, which is his sight. And that's why man is looking at your outward appearance. So if you have something to deliver in terms of a gift, a talent, and ability, you want to make sure that your look matches the talent and the ability that you have so that the doors will open for you. Because I have a quote on the back of the book. It says, you don't want to be the person who is full of gifts, talents, ideas, and genius, but they are covered up by the wrong appearance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, Mac, we do have a caller. Yeah, we do have a caller online. I think it's Macau. But caller from the 240, welcome to the No Chaser. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
What's happening? This is
Macau.
How y'all doing?
What's up, bruh?
I'm just passing through. I didn't get the gentleman's name or the name of the book, so if you could please repeat it for me.
Go ahead. This is one of our other guys from our other show, Macau. This is Matthew Horn. Matthew, you can introduce yourself to Macau. He is a guy. I don't know. Macau can make that decision, but Macau, if he's available for your show, I can, you know, try to make that happen. But this book he has is very good. But you can introduce yourself, Macau. Matthew, that's Macau.
How you doing,
hey, how's
bro?
Going, Macau? I'm good.
Okay.
How about yourself, my brother? All right.
I'm good.
Okay.
I didn't know
if you had a question or comment or had been listening.
No.
This is Matthew C. Horn. He's got a book out, Choices,
the
Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living, and he had some other books out also, How to Get Beautiful Women for One.
Beautiful Women?
Yes. I'm on his website.
Oh.
The universe is inviting you in, and also All We Have Is Now. Am I right about that, Matthew?
Yes, sir. That's my lineup right there. I have four books okay. out, and I knew that was going to make a point in the conversation, man. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh, most definitely. Mac, yes. Please pass me this brother's telephone number. I will be calling.
Yes, sir. No problem. But I just wanted to know if you wanted to join the conversation. You're welcome to stay, man. Because I know you guys have some good questions, just to add to the conversation, good questions or good things you might want to say. But we're focusing on his book, which is Choices, the Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living. So, I mean, if you have any questions or anything you want to ask about it, I mean, please. I mean, I don't even care if we've already asked that, because I want you to be engaged. Because Mikhail, Matthew, if you don't know, has a great show, and he deals with a lot of these issues and me and him get into it a lot with politics and different things like that. But the one thing I respect about Mikhail is that he's about positive things and about black people and about things. So I know this is something that he would just relish, maybe ask
right.
a question talking about.
Right.
So Mikhail,
right.
whatever
Matthew,
you wanna...
Matthew, that's code for Mikhail. We got company, so you need to be on your best behavior. That's all that was.
Absolutely. I am not going to get you to show your butt naked ass today. I am going to be good today. Oh, boy. But we have fun on the radio. But either way, Mikhail, if you had any questions about the book or, whatever, he said what the chapters were, but,
go ahead. Just some basic questions. First of all, what inspired you to write the book, and what do you plan to... What is your intended effect?
Well, what actually inspired me to write the book was just seeing the state of young black males, and I'm going to repeat the statistic that I've repeated already. CNN's Black in America said that an uneducated white male is the equivalent of an educated black male with a degree in terms of the ability to get ahead in society. And that's a very, very striking statement. And just my experiences as a young black male, how the world sees us, and just knowing that regardless of CNN statistics and how the media portrays us and shows like the first 48 and, the rappers that represent things of that nature, I believe deep down that we have the power to create a life of success and do it on our terms. And what I do with the book is I focus on images of young black males who have made it in society. And most notably, I focus in on our president, Barack Obama, because he's made it to the highest office that the world has to offer. And in turn, if I can give the young black male enough images of success, he'll begin to see himself in that same frame of possibility. And when he believes that success is possible for him, guess what? He's going to put energy into creating success. And if he puts enough energy into creating success, it's only a matter of time before the young black male consistently finds himself in positions of success.
Right. Because we definitely don't have enough. We don't provide them enough tools to get out there and succeed. A lot of times I hear a lot of I talk to a lot of folks, and the majority is just they need to pull their pants up, they need to do this, they need to get out the street, they need to get out this, that, and the third. But there's no concrete tools given to them to for them to build or whatever. So you can go ahead and respond to that, and I'll be quiet.
Well, that's what it's about.
Go ahead.
You have to put something in their hand, like straight up. That's what we're talking about. No chases, straight up. So this is something that I want to get in the school systems. I want to get this book everywhere for their young black males, so that they can see themselves in a brighter light of what's possible for their life.
Okay, this book's been out for a little bit. How do you get it into the hands? You talked briefly on it, but how do you physically get into the hands that you want to target the young black man? How do you physically get it in the hands to get them to read the 10 chapters that you have?
Well, what I do is right now I do as many book signings as I can right now. Any and everywhere that I'm available to sign my books, I do it. And I've been partnering with different organizations, and the last place I partnered with was the Seed School of Maryland. It was out there in inner city Baltimore. And what they do is they house inner city kids that come from underprivileged situations Monday through Friday at their school facility, clothe them, feed them. They're doing incredible work to see school is. And what they did is they purchased a bunch of books, a bulk amount of my books, and had me come in and speak on different topics. So what I want to do is partner with organizations that already have an existing database of young black males so that I can just come right in and just be a blessing and give them a resource as well.
Has the response, besides the seed school, has there been a good response for others that are trying to get this book to your target audience, has it been difficult?
It's been easy. I can say that I've never written a book that's practically sold itself. Whenever I'm at my book signings, you know.
Okay.
It's a different spirit on this book. You know, that's what people come up to me and say. They say they feel something coming off the book. You know, a lot of parents will come up, you know, a lot of single mothers will come up and say, I want this for my son, I want this for my nephew, a family friend, just anybody. I mean, I'm always sold out of this book. It's a blessing because I'm addressing something that's needed. And this is my first book that I've written that's pointed towards a particular demographic. And we need it. I mean, we see the state of young black males out here, so this is much needed. And this is something that's powerful, that can change the direction and change the complexion of a young black man's life.
Well, I know that. Well, I know that Mikhail has a big following, so I'm pretty sure if he's on board, he could definitely get you on his show and get some things done. But like I said, I'm going to do everything I can to try to get it. I mean, I'm in a high school, so I'm going to definitely try to get it in the hands, or get a copy in the hands of a principal or somebody that say, hey, look, this might be something you might want to, you know, do something with. I don't know what they do, but, you know, get it into somebody's hand that'll read it. But, what I wanted to say is that the state of our young black males, I personally, I have a unique observation, is that for me, I know it's the black, black men or black, whether it's men, women, whatever. Girls seem to always kind of find their way and do their thing to a certain extent. But with young black men, it's a little bit different. But the one thing I think that's lacking a lot of is parenting. And that's where our model is supposed to come from. Whether it's like for me, I was in a single family home, but my mother was my mother and my father, but she modeled certain things for me. And I just think that's the ultimate place where it should start. It doesn't, but it starts, because I always hear people say, you know, men don't have positive role models and this and this and that. And I said, but you know, and I'm in a high school every day, and like I just mentioned, Mikhail wasn't here probably when I said it, but you know, in high school now, I mean, looking in high schools, and it's like, Slim, y'all got like full beauty salon, barber salon. You can leave out with a culinary degree. You can leave out being an auto mechanic out of high school. And I'm looking at this, and the thing that is so funny is that if you talk to the kids or listen to them, they talk like that stuff doesn't even exist in their high school. And I'm saying, like, when does a parent, like, if I was a parent bringing my son in for ninth grade, I would immediately go home and say, look, you need to find something. Find what you want when you get out of high school and try to instill in them, one of these you need to pick. You need to have something. Even if you don't do nothing with it, just leave out with it. This can put money in your pocket. I think, and that's where you were talking about a vision. And I think part of a parent's job is to give them a vision. Even if they don't like the vision, or maybe they don't want it, but at least encourage them to say, hey, look, this, you know, you want to make money in the summer. You want to make money on your own. You want to do some work for yourself. I think that's where it starts, number one, is that we as black parents, we never talk about what you said in the book, the entrepreneurship. We never talk about working for yourself. We never talk about that. All we talk about is go get an education and go work for somebody else and get paid. And for me, I just think we need to change the thinking on that. And I don't know what you think about what I just said, but, you know, you can expound on that, or Mikhail, you can expound. Anybody can expound on that if you want to.
Well, this is Matthew C. Horn right here. But
okay.
This, in terms of the entrepreneur in you, that's the chapter. My dad turned me into an entrepreneur. And in the summer times, we'd be in people's yards. We had a landscaping business. And from because that was my reality growing up, it was a fixture in my adult life as well. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. It is up to the parent to instill certain things in
mm-hmm.
the kid,
mm-hmm.
also
mm-hmm.
to help the kid to connect to their own vision.
Exactly.
You know, because yeah, my vision when I was a kid, I just wanted to play Division I basketball, and I was able to make that reality with a full basketball scholarship at Coastal Carolina
mm-hmm.
University. And
wow.
When I had a vision, then I knew what steps I had to take, and that's what's lacking. A lot of kids want these outcomes for their life, but they aren't creating a vision, which is a realistic picture of how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hey,
so that's what
right.
I do. That's what I, yeah, that's what I do with the book, as I show them that's the first chapter, is the power of vision, because you have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going in life if you're
right.
going to arrive there, plain and simple.
You got anything to say, Mikhail?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know if you had something to say. I didn't know. Question.
Yeah, along with that vision, you know, I think it's very imperative that we definitely give these children to navigate. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, we can hear you.
I just heard something in the background. I don't know. But, we have to give them tools to navigate, because just like you said, you know, you got these kids that will come to school and just not know, you know, they don't have their bearings to different things that is going on with the school. And, you know, I don't necessarily fault all that on the parents. I fault that on all of us. You know what I mean? Because if these children are out here and they don't have, you, they don't have any idea of what they're looking at and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They will be influenced and also guided by the different forms of media that are out there. You know,
true.
You know, BET, MTV,
that's
all
true.
That kind of carrying
yep.
on. So
yep.
you know, we have to find a formidable way to deal with these types of things, because we're
mm-hmm.
you know, every day it's an onslaught. Every day it's an onslaught of
mm-hmm.
more ignorance and you know, just a dumbing down and, you know, a killing of our children's mental state every day,
mm-hmm.
every day, you know. And then, you know, I don't even want to get started with, you know, the laptops and computers. I mean, because right there, you know, right there in that little computer, right there in that little computer, right, when you open up that computer, that laptop, or start up your computer, children are now right there. Everything is competing with everything. You know, I personally taught my children to, you know, use it to build and to educate. But see, now, you know, they can socialize, they can watch movies, they can play games, they can, you know, it's all these different things are competing with what the computer is
mm-hmm.
supposed to be there for. You know, help them do the things that they need to do. It's only a tool. But see, now
right.
it's been, you know, now it's a tool for, you know, a lack of a better word, fuckery, you know, because you can get into so much with it, and let alone what's going on out here when they step outside the door. So it's very imperative that we have, you know, that they not only have vision, but we give them the tools to work with.
Right. Now, I know one of the
exactly.
things that my mother did for me, Matthew, is that I know my mother did it for a while with me, was made me write stuff down. What do you want to do? I want to do this. What are the steps to do that? And I remember as a kid, it was hard. I didn't want to do it. I was like, man, I don't want to do that, all writing that, all that stuff down. You know, as a kid, you're just like, But it was funny that when we wrote that stuff down, and my mother would make us put it on the refrigerator, and we would have to go look at it. And did you get the number? Did you get step number two done? You got number one done. Did you get step number two done? And it really kept, and we learned how to focus. And now it's funny, that's something that we don't talk about that much, but I know that I've heard a lot of great athletes lately and a lot of great people lately who have talked about goal setting, who have talked about writing out their goals, you know, talking about their grandfather, their grandmother said, write it down, you know, write it out, write the steps that it takes to get there. And I rediscovered this book. I rediscovered it when I was reading this when I was reading a book that my mother gave me down the line, and the book is called, and I would encourage everybody to read it, but it's called The Richest Man Who Ever Lived, and it talks about goal setting and things like that, and it talks about Solomon. and how he accomplished so much. But I'm just saying, but what I agree with what Mikhail's saying is that it is a lot. But, you know, and again, like I said, it's all of us. You know, it's all of us. It's teachers and everybody else. But I just find that when I see a kid come to high school every day and complain about and play the victim, and I'm sitting here looking like you're a 10th grader, you're a 9th grader, like you have all these opportunities, and you not understanding, like, who told you you were a victim? I can't say that to him in my job, but I'm just saying, like, who told you you were a victim? Like, who told you that? Like, who? And then what I notice is a lot of times they repeat what their parents say. And their parents have no idea that how powerful their words are and how powerful their actions are. And that's
right.
Why, even though Mikhail says what he says, I agree with him. But I also put more weight on the parent because, and the reason why I put it, even though he's saying it's on all of us, and he's right, you know, but for me, when I step out that door, if everything's done that's supposed to be done in the home, when I get outside that house, that's where I spend most of my time in my formative years till I'm an adult. That's where I spend my years. And, I mean, as a kid, I didn't go out of the house to act a certain way because my mama didn't put up with that. Or I was just taught, like, you didn't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. And it wasn't just talking me to death. It was like a smack in the head. You know, my mother was a little bit different than I'm not saying most parents, but my mother believed in she had a theory of whooping your tail at home, and then I don't have to bother with you that much outside. And
spare
the rod
and spoil the child.
Because looking back on it now, when I got out, like, I never, like, I remember coming up, white kids was the one, all of us probably remember this, white kids would show out, fall out in the aisle at the supermarket, act a damn fool. And we would look at them like, y'all crazy. That was crazy to us. Because we knew if we did it, we knew it was going to happen. But that was because mom or dad, or one of them, took care of us at the house. You knew you didn't act like that because you knew what you was going to get. That's what I'm talking about, the kind of training, the kind of parenting that parents don't do anymore. Now, I think in this society now, we fell into a trap where we just drop our kids off to school, and that's our babysitter for the day for our kids. And then when they come home or they fall through the cracks or something happens, I hear so many parents say, well, y'all ain't do this, well, y'all ain't do that, and well, y'all ain't do this, y'all ain't teach them this, and y'all ain't teach them that. And I'm sitting there going like, how can a kid go through a whole semester and not do no homework? Like when did it ever strike you that at some night he's supposed to do homework and you blame it on the teachers? So for me, it's a balance. I believe in what Mikhail's saying is absolutely right. It's on all of us, teachers, it's everybody. But I still put more weight, 90% of the weight, on parenting at home because that's where the kid spends most of his time. And that's what, and we're not, and as parents, sometimes we're not instilling the vision in them. And I've been in a home where the mother has put a vision in at the kid and pushed us. And I can't turn around now, no matter what happened in my life, I can never turn around to my mother right now today, and she's still alive. I can never turn to my mother and say, you never gave me a chance. You know, you never told me. You never taught me. You know, if I fail, it's on me. But at least I know I was taught that. So, I agree with Mikhail, and I also agree with you. And, you know, Matthew, if you want to expound on that, or Jerry, anybody else want to jump in, that's fine. But, you know, that's why I see the value of this book, is that it's putting in written form what probably us, you know, I think parents need to read that book, for real. I mean, honestly, you know, more than the men do. I think parents need to do, especially if you got a boy, because the odds are against us more than it is the women. So, you know, I don't know if you guys want to expound on that, but anybody want to jump in, that's fine.
Matthew?
Yeah, well, I believe everything you're saying, it is up to the kids to paint a picture of what the parents have to paint a picture of what needs to be done in order to get there. But, you know, I'll be honest, in my situation, like when my vision was to play D1 basketball, Division 1 basketball, it got to a place where nobody thought it was going to happen except for me. And sometimes, you know, even as a kid, you have to find it within yourself. I remember I transferred schools my senior year, and my mother thought I was crazy. My classmates, you know, at the school before I transferred thought I was crazy. And you know, I even had a teammate say, hey, you know, you're not built to play D1. You're not going to make it. This was on the way out the door at the high school I left. But even as a kid, sometimes – you know, you have to realize, like, the spirit of truth, the voice of God is inside of you as well. And
exactly.
Even as a kid, you have to learn how to listen to that still small voice within that's guiding you. And that's
amen.
What I do with my book. I connect the kid to himself, more or less,
mm-hmm.
to show him that, you know, he has power within himself and to go with his instincts. Because sometimes, you know, if I were to listen to, you know, my parents did a great job in raising me. But, you know, when it came down where the rubber met the road, I was by
yep.
myself. And,
yep.
and sometimes, you know, that's how it is. When you have a vision, there's going to come a point in time where possibly that you may be by yourself. And you have to learn how
right.
to believe in yourself. And that's what I do
yep.
with the book. I bypass all of the voices and connect them to their self and show them they have the ability to live in their vision, whatever that may be. And I give the personal example just of, you know, how I transferred schools. Everyone thought I was crazy. And
mm-hmm.
I went to a less prominent high school, what didn't have the winning reputation. And what ended up happening was the first game of the season, the coach from Coastal Carolina University came to look at another player and saw me and recruited me throughout the season and offered me a scholarship.
Wow.
You know, at the signing deadline. So, you know, we can blame, you know, we can point fingers or just kind of like
mm-hmm.
focusing on parents and things of that nature. Parents do play a part. But at the end of the day, like, these kids have to learn how to be in tune with their spirits, man, because that's what's going to guide us
mm-hmm.
guide them through the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a huge principle that I teach in my book is being at one with yourself. I talk about self-actualization, Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. That's the
that sits atop
everything else is self-actualization, a deep oneness and connection with yourself.
If someone
wow.
wanted to get your to purchase your book or any this book or any of the other books that you've published, how could they do that?
Okay, you can visit my website, www.matthewchorn.com.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great.
Now, well, I got a question here.
Go ahead.
Now, I see you are also in print media for the Washington Post and for Empower Magazine. Are you still doing that, or is that something that you've done in the past and you're no longer involved in that?
Oh, well, I still write for Empower every month, and with the Washington Post, it's more of a freelance thing. I just shoot them articles from time to time, and they publish the ones they like, you know, plain and simple. You know?
And you're in you co-host a TV show, How to Survive in a Bad Commie. Are you still doing that, or is that something that you've done in the past?
Okay, we are still doing How to Survive in a Bad Commie right now. I'm glad you brought that up. We turned that TV show into a movie, and we're going to be premiering. We're going to be premiering at the movie theater in Rivertown in Oxon Hill, Maryland, in late February. So I'll try to keep everyone posted on the official premiere date. And So that's what we've been doing with the show. And right after the movie wraps, we're going to get right back in the studio and start taping episodes. But what I did do in the meantime, coming up in February, my new show, Matthew C. Horn Live, will be airing on DCTV. And you can check DCTV.org in the month of February to see what my air times will be for my show. Because I just submitted my first episode and got approved. So I'm going to be airing, you know, right here in February. And I'm just going to be giving live motivational messages from my live speaking engagements.
Wow.
Well, I'm definitely proud of you, my brother. You are definitely moving up the ladder. Tell me, how did you get this from a TV show to the big screen?
Well, that's the new trend. Is, you know, movies is a new trend. So what ended up happening was I'm just a co-host on How to Survive in a Bad Economy, but the main host wrote a book based on the economy. And what
right.
he did, he said, I mean, this is my business partner Charlie Grant. I love this guy because he goes all the way with everything that he does. He says, you know what, the book is doing well. He's like, look, let me turn the book into a movie. And he studied film, and he got his training, and he recruited the cast of the show, and he went out and found some actors, and, I mean, we have a full cast, and, you know, now we're going to be premiering in February at Oxon Hill Movie Theater.
Wow.
And I gather movies, he produced this movie himself. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, he wrote it and produced it. I mean, I have nothing but praise for Charlie Grant. I mean, he's one man. I can say he always does what he says he's going to do and goes all the way with it. You know?
Wow. Mikhail, did you have any other questions or anything you want to ask?
Mikhail, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I'm good.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay. I was surprised. I thought he was gone. I was like, oh man, he hung up. Let me ask you this: did you use anything in your book, the techniques in your book, to accomplish what you? Well, let me ask you this. This is a better question. I mean, I know you wrote books before, but when did you know you were an author, that you could actually do it? Like, when did you do your first writing, when you just said, okay, I'm going to do it, and how did it all come about, your first publish?
Oh, wow. It's a crazy story, one that I still can't even believe until this day. What ended up happening was I switched majors my junior year in college. And I switched majors my sophomore year from business to English. And the English department basically told my coach, like, don't let him switch. He's not going to make it. And my coach was like, hey, you know, even if you get C's, you know, you can still graduate. And my coach believed in me. I believed in myself, so I went ahead and switched. And so that was my sophomore year. In my senior year, what ended up happening was I was offered a book contract by two motivational speakers who were putting together a compilation project. It was 14 different motivational speakers, and we each signed a contract to write a chapter in a book. So in my last semester of college, I was taking four English classes trying to get out of there, as well as working on my chapter that was going to appear in the co-authored book. The name of this book was A Massive Dose of Motivation. So about 6 months after I graduated, I was a published author. And then from there, what ended up happening was my chapter in The Massive Dose of Motivation was so well received that people were like, look, when you write your book, man, I'm going to buy it. Everybody was talking about, man, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. So, but they didn't know I was already writing The Universe is Inviting You In before A Massive Dose of Motivation even came out. So A Massive Dose of Motivation dropped in 2006. It came out, and then on June 25th of 2007, 5 days before my 24th birthday, I released The Universe is Inviting You In. And then from there, in 2011, I released All We Have Is Now. 2012, I released Choices, The Young Black Man's Guide to Successful Living. And January the 1st of this year, 2013, I released How to Get Beautiful Women and Everything Else You Want from Life.
I want to ask this question. I want to know about that book. No, seriously, I want to know about that book. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When you hear a title like that, you tend as a man to roll your eyes. Like, man, what could this dude possibly tell me about?
Yeah.
You know, that's just not a book that commonly people write.
Like I said, I was reading his website, and one of the things in his article that he wrote for the Root DC, Fear of the Pretty Face. You remember that, right?
That was for the Washington Post right there. Yep.
So,
go ahead, man. Go ahead. I'm listening.
From what I'm seeing is this.
Yeah.
And I'll make it short. You're in a grocery store, and I know everyone's been through this. You see a jaw-dropping traffic stopper in the grocery store. Okay? And then you make every attempt, as long as that person is in the grocery store, to look at her. Whether you're married, whether you're not married, you make an attempt to look at her, but no one ever takes the opportunity to go up to step to her and approach her. Am I right about that, Matthew?
Okay, you're right, and I'm going to talk to you about that article. As a matter of fact, that article turned into the book, How to Get Beautiful Women and Everything Else You Want from Life.
Wow.
That story actually took place with a friend of mine, one of my best friends. And I couldn't believe it, and I could because I see men pass up, you know, beautiful women every day, thinking that they're out of their league. And I wrote that article to show men how to just be afraid to not be afraid to approach beautiful women, but how to not to be afraid to approach everything they want from life. You know, everything I do as a motivational speaker has a self-empowering twist to it. So it's not like a pimp or player guy. The premise
right.
of the book is that a man with a vision is the prized possession of any woman. So with the book, I create a better man and show him, you know, as he becomes a better man with a larger vision and greater accomplishments, he won't just attract beautiful women, but he'll appeal to society and attract everything that he wants from life.
That's true. That is true. The number one thing I've always heard from beautiful women that I've talked to is their surprise, their frustration is always, guys always think I got a boyfriend. Or I'm always, or I got a whole bunch of guys after me, or things like that. And a lot of them have told me in the past that a lot of times it's like, nah, I'm just by myself. I'm lonely because I don't want to put up with the crap. But then the guys never approach or never ask. You know,
mm-hmm.
they'll talk about everything else, but then they'll leave and walk out and be like, I was really interested, and they don't know because they never attempt. So I think the number one, I think one of those things is, you know, from what women have told me is the number one thing is that they think a lot of guys think they're taken, they're with somebody, and you know, and
that's true.
That's really weird. I mean,
it's
I don't know,
strange.
But
that's I mean,
true,
Mikhail?
No, I was saying that's true. You were saying that's true.
Not really.
Okay.
Majority of the time. A lot of these beautiful women think that men are intimidated by them,
and they
really don't like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then the other thing is, you know, every cat just got some crazy ass line, so you know she's got her charge already to you know just to thwart off just to get to the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? Every shucker in Java is, you know, throwing out lines at her and throwing out nonsense at her. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
know.
That's true.
I would agree that a man with a vision and a plan and also, you know, the confidence and swagger, you know what I'm saying? That is definitely what, you know, what gets them all. Not that, you know, not that I use that. But
oh man,
you would
oh,
never do
man.
That. You would never
no,
ever
you would
do
never
that,
do
would
that.
You?
No, man, never ever use that. Never ever use that. Never.
That was hilarious. But I mean, no, I agree with Mikhail. Like I said, when I was talking, I was just saying from a woman's standpoint, like I have relatives who are cousins of mine who are like that and who are those people we're talking about, but I try to pick their brain to find out like what do you think, and what I hear from them a lot of times is that they, you know, what you're saying is true, intimidated, maybe they don't call it that, but some of them will say, you know,
no, they'll call it that
right.
they have called it that.
Right.
I speak to numerous women all across this country, all across
yeah,
this
right,
and
right.
it's some beautiful black women across this country. Let me just say that right now. And that's the one thing that they just do not like. You know, they like confidence. You know, they like swagger. They like all that. They like all of those things, but things aren't. You know, if those things don't come with any type of substance or
right.
any type of truth or
mm-hmm.
an ability to, you know, effectively communicate, then they don't want that. They don't want that at all.
Yeah.
Well,
so
they don't
you,
want
so,
it at all.
So what you both, so really what you both are saying is that if you have a vision or if you have a vision and have a plan or what have you, that builds up your swagger anyway. To go up to a woman and be confident and have that swagger anyway. So they kind of play hand in hand.
Yeah.
They do.
Go
yeah.
hand in hand. As a matter of fact, she would probably be trying to holler at you.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the truth. And, you know, with the book, you know, because people, I mean, it's not just about, like, beautiful women. It's just, like, you know, people are hesitant to approach things that they believe are beyond them.
Right.
You know, and the adage, the pretty face, you know, the beautiful woman is more of a metaphor. You know, because a guy see that gorgeous woman like you all been saying and thinking, man, she's out of my league. You know, she's probably getting hollered at. She's probably full of herself. And they don't even give themselves the opportunity to find out for themselves whether or not they have a match with that woman. And with opportunity,
right.
it could be, you know, going back to school or getting a promotion on your job or starting your own business. A lot of guys think that stuff is beyond them. But what I do say in the book is that when you come face-to-face with these things, whether it's beautiful women or these opportunities that you want to create for yourself, when you come face-to-face with them, one thing you'll realize is that they weren't as far away as you believe they were.
Intimidating factor of the unknown.
Exactly, but that's what life is about. It's about losing
mm-hmm.
control. So you see, people don't get to where they want to be in life because they always want to know the next step and be in control. But
mm-hmm.
in order to create something you've yet to experience, you have to do some things you have yet to do, meaning that you're going to have to go into the unknown. And one thing a lot of men are afraid to do is put themselves in a vulnerable position because of pride and machismo. And it's vulnerable when you don't know what the outcome is going to be, when you could possibly face rejection. But I say that the worst thing that life will ever tell you is no, but in reverse, the best thing that life will ever tell you is yes.
Right. I got some other stuff here that you see on your site. You have a CD collection of how to become a cutting edge speaker. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, what I do at this stage, I've been a motivational speaker for 7 years now. So what I do is I pay it forward. I created a training series. This is a live training series that took place with speakers calling in and receiving training from me about every facet of the speaking industry. I have everything from crafting your voice and finding your message to how to create products, you know, how to get speaking engagement, and just everything you need to know about the speaking industry is in that CD series, How to Become a Cutting Edge Speaker.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know you was doing all. It's funny, I've been seeing Matt for like years, Don the Goodman, and I was like, it's fun. You know what this is teaching me is that you never can judge a book by its cover. You just never think about that.
Hey,
and you just
what are we talking about, Mac? How to get
what?
A beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So you saw somebody
you know
in
what?
Front of you, but you actually didn't know anything about them.
Yeah.
No,
but I'm
you
just saying, I'm not even going to say I prejudge
mm-hmm.
him, but I'm just saying it's funny how God places you where you get to know people,
mm-hmm.
and you just see them all the time, but you don't, like I got a friend of mine that's a filmmaker, literally a filmmaker, like can do it from beginning to end, film director, he went to school for it, can do it, and we've been playing about, and I always knew he had that gift, but I never knew how, like, until I started seeing his work, and I'm like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, he's trying to make it, of course, and he's putting together and doing projects and things. But it's like I said, I'm just saying it's funny how, and I don't judge anybody or say, like, okay, well, you can't do this or tell people what they can and can't do or this guy looks like a bum or this. But it's funny how you just look at people every day and you have these conversations and you talk to them, and then all of a sudden when you dig deeper, you be like, you do what? You know, because I'm going to be honest, this is the funny thing. Me and Matt been knowing each other for years down at the Goodman, and it's basically been, hey, what's up, what's happening, blah, blah. We talk about blah, blah, whatever, whatever. But it wasn't until Jamar died. Remember the basketball player we told you about, Jerry?
Right, right.
Right, until he died, we happened to talk, we went down to the vigil, and that's when I saw Matt. And then Matt started telling me what he and for some reason I always get around to doing that. And I said, Matt, what do you do? And I always ask people that. And he told me. When he told me, I'm sitting there going like, are you serious? You know, I'm like, wow. And I told him that day, I was like, I'm gonna get you on the radio show. Never thinking that he had all these books, these CDs. And I'm sitting there, I'm learning this stuff now. Some of it, the books I knew about, but the CDs and all this other, I ain't know none of this. And it's just funny how you know people, but you really never know their gifts and what they're really doing. And you know,
these hosts aren't you know studying their guests that they're bringing on the daggone show on this network. I don't understand this.
Oh boy! You know what? I'm just about to tell Matt. You know, I'm 58 years old, Matt, and I tell you right now, I'm not a reader, but
mm-hmm.
I'm definitely gonna purchase your book that you got the. the one we first talked about, the choices, because I'm really intrigued on what you have to say in the 10 chapters that you talked about.
And
okay,
there it
yeah,
is,
that,
Matt.
That's
and,
great.
And that's why I say it, but at the same time, even though I laugh at what Mikhail said, Mikhail doesn't understand, though, but Mikhail, I just said, it's funny, before you came on, I said, you know what, it's my fault, because I said I should have got the book from Matt a couple weeks ago and should have read the book and at least been familiar with it. But to be honest with you, I see it as sometimes when I know a little bit about a guest, if I know too much, I don't really ask good questions. But when I find that sometimes when I don't know, I ask better questions. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I should research, and usually I do.
Yeah. Jerry saved your ass. Yeah, let's just say
it
like it. Let's
just
call it like it is. Let's just call it for what it was.
Right, but that's why you have a co-host. And that's why you have a guy like Mikhail who comes on. But at the same time, to be honest with you, I'm glad Mikhail came on, because until he came on, it didn't dawn on me. I was like, you know what? I was like, Matthew can have an even bigger audience, because I know Mikhail's audience is way bigger than mine. And he has his own radio show. And I think it would be positive and very good for you. And that's the first thing I thought of, was like, man, if I get to Mikhail, that's all they talk about. Tell them the name of your show.
Grown Soul and Real Talk. We talk about everything, bro. We talk about everything. The audience, my audience is 70% African American women all across the United States. Just about in every city in the United States, man. We doing something like 4,000 listens a week, something like that. So it's pretty decent. He gonna give me your number if you don't mind.
Matt, you're gonna be in good hands with I can tell you, you're in good hands with Mikhail. If it was anybody less with that many women, I'd be like, man, don't go on over there, man. Watch yourself. But no, Matt got him in firm control. He cracked the whip and he got him in control. But I'm gonna tell you, just be careful, because I feel sorry for guests to get out of order over that joint. It's like Vampireville. It's like what? Hey, you ever seen that scene? You ever seen that scene, Matt, in what's that one? From Dusk Till Dawn, and they go in the Titty Twister, and they go in that joint in the daytime, and Bazzy playing the band and everything. Man, they get in there after the net, man. You go say something wrong, you be like, oh, shoot, these battles vampires jump on you in a minute. But it is a very, it's a good show, and Mikhail runs a good ship. And I know he has a big audience, man. And I think, to be honest with you, women will probably buy that book more for their men than anything else. I think you find a good audience over there.
Single black women with young men. You know, we've approached that topic like a million times.
Well, with that being said, Matthew, tell us how we can contact you, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay,
this Facebook.com/ Matthew C. Horn, MATTHEWCHORNE, Facebook.com/ Matthew C. Horn. Or from my fan page, that was my personal page. From my fan page, go to Facebook.com/ We Are Motivation. And that's WERMOTIVATION, We Are Motivation. And Twitter is going to be Twitter.com/ Matthew C. Horn. I'm branded as Matthew C. Horn, so if you want to find me, just type that thing in Google, Matthew C. Period Horn, and you'll find any and everything you need to know. And also my website, www.MatthewCHorn.com.
Yeah, so do you want me to? I can either give it to Mikhail, or Mikhail, you can, if he sends a friend request to your page, you'll be good with that.
What's the website again?
It's www.MatthewCHorn.com. MATTHEWCHORNE.
Horn is spelled H O R N E.
No. It's MATTHEWC. Then it's HORNE. It's no dots anything. Just straight Matthew C.
Okay.
I got you. My name is Macau.
Send him a friend request.
The email to say wrong stolen the real talk. I'll get you.
And if you have any problems, Macau, Jerry, I know Jerry will definitely be like, man, send me the number, and I'll just send you the number when you can text. I want to see him on a bigger audience.
Go ahead and hook us up after the show, because maybe we can talk tonight.
I do have the number. I do have the number in front of me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, give the number to Macau and get them so they can talk and schedule out, because I would love to see Macau's show be helped by that, and also because, like I said, I don't have guests on here just for me, but I have guests on here for anybody else that want to, you know, talk to them or whatever. So, I mean, I appreciate you coming on the show, Macau. You made it a lot more interesting, and I appreciate it. And I know you'll do an even better job with it because I know you. He'll read your book and everything and be ready. So I know Macau.
Oh my God.
He will. If he's going to get on me, you know he's going to do it, just despite me. Like, yeah, I'm going to show you how to do it, young brother. He's going to be doing it. So with that being said, I just want to say thanks for coming on, Matthew. The hour has flown by, man.
Yes,
I got to get out of here. But I just wanted to say, Jerry, thanks again for another great show.
Same to you, as usual.
Thanks for being a great guest. Macau, thanks for showing up and being on your best behavior. And just coming in with some great questions and stuff, man. I appreciate it. And I figure now you owe me because I've given you an interview, a great one. So I don't know when I'm gonna get. I don't know what I'm gonna get from you for that. But anyway, I just keep trying.
I gave you at least four good shows.
That's true.
That's true. Stop. At least four shows.
Hey, Macau, you get bruises on your back for patting yourself on the back so much, or what?
I just came on this show at least three to four times and made you laugh so hard you probably
That's true.
Sit up.
Slim, I ain't gonna lie. You, Macau's one of the funniest dudes I know. Like, for real, outside of professional comedians, he's the funniest dude I know. I mean, I still to this day am never gonna forget Too Sweet. I've never, ever, ever. I have reminded him about that, and he gets mad. Dude, that's funny. Sorry, Too Sweet will never get old. But anyway, Matthew, thank you for being on the show. Macau, I really appreciate you, man. And I'll let me know when your show comes on, because I think I may even tune in and listen to that one and see how it's done. Jerry, thank you again for a wonderful show. And with that, we are out of here. Thanks, I appreciate it, man. We are done. See you later next week.